Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. Men's Tea Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway, now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or visit mensteaclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Time now for a C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening on an overreaction Cowboys Monday. Fire burning in Deer Park at this energy transfer station. Just incredibly surreal video to watch everything charred within, 400 or 500 yard circumference of this massive gusher that's just throwing out incredible flames. I don't even know how you try to get close enough to cap that bad boy or what the technique is, but it's the biggest story in the state of Texas today down there at Deer Park, Houston area. Of course, other than the Cowboys getting whooped by the New Orleans Saints.
Did you guys ever see, this is like an old school movie, The Hellfighters?
No.
I did not see The Hellfighters.
You ever seen The Hellfighters? It's actually based on a true guy, Red Adair. Down there in Houston.
John Wayne?
Yeah. They fight fires. They're like professional like oil well fighters, firefighters. And they're like had all kinds of techniques and blowing out wells and stuff like that. It's actually a pretty cool movie.
I remember all those stories from the wars in the Gulf of, the wells getting lit on fire by the opposing troops as they were vacating the area and how you'd have to go around and try to cap everything. So I'm sure they got some techniques.
Well, that's what Red Adair's company did. They went through and their job was to go when you felt like that those Christmas trees is what they call them, and they get blown up, and then now they have all these different techniques that they use to take the oxygen away from the fire and all kinds of, they use robots now more than they use like shields and stuff like that.
That's a 1968 movie, Brian. How do you remember such a detail on that? When's the last time you saw that movie, you think?
It's been a while, but I just remember because when you were talking about
I love
oil
it.
Wells
I love
and
it.
Stuff, the Hellfighters, it's actually, like you say, it's a true story about a guy, this crew that goes and puts these wells out, which they know how to do them better than anybody else.
Yeah. Well, salute to Red Adair.
Red Adair.
Okay. I think the Cowboys should be listening to Dak even more. We can talk about him having control of the offense or the line of scrimmage. That's an interesting subject. But more than that, I think you should be listening to him throughout the week. On this, quote, Shanahan offense that Clint Kubiak is running, Dak's quote, it's surprising, but it's the NFL as far as, how well the Saints did against the Cowboys defense. He said, hell, I'm thinking it'd be nice to be doing that on our side of the ball more than I'm worried on critiquing our defense. Obviously, that's a good team. Alvin Kamara looked damn good. Derek Carr put the ball where it needed to be. That offense is rolling right now, but credit to the play caller over there and to that team of coming out and being ready on a noon start. Made it tough on our defense, which made it rough on the whole team. I'm trying to get there with our offense. So taking a little bit of accountability as well, but he's also, is he pointing at the offensive coaching staff here, Brian?
I tell you what, it sure sounds like it, though. I mean, watching that game, and I know Zach and I were sitting next to each other, in the press box, and I'm sure everybody was watching at home. It just seemed like it was such a struggle for the Cowboys to move the ball yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a struggle. Like every time I looked up, it seemed like it was third down and two, and it just, there were no really easy plays. Did they miss some easy plays? I think there were a couple. I mentioned the wheel route that I think that Rico Dowdle, if it's thrown out a little bit further, could have been a big play. The flip to Zeke out of the backfield. That's a ball that Dak Prescott usually gets enough air on it, and Zeke catches it, and it's probably going to be a race to the pylon. But he might get stopped short. But still, it's a chance that if you get the ball over Grandison like he did, but get it with a little pace, then maybe it's a little bit different story. I'll get into all that when I saw in the red zone. But it's just a struggle. It's just a struggle. They need these heroic plays. I mean, Dak having to run and he flips the ball basically to Zeke for a 15-yard run, when it looks like a sack, you know, or a miracle catch from Tolbert down the sidelines, you know, or CeeDee Lamb or Tyrann Mathieu overrunning the play and allowing CeeDee Lamb to score. It just, nothing really comes easy for this offense.
Amen, dude.
Saints sure made it look easy at times.
No, they
yesterday.
Do. They absolutely do. And I think that's where Dak is probably a little envious of, like, man, okay, so you're averaging 7-8 yards a shot, you know, running the football, and then you kind
got some guys running open. Like the Saints forcing 10 tight window throws. They allowed just 3 catches for 56 yards on those targets with an interception. So their secondary made things very difficult. But we've talked about this before. Like, my thing with Mike McCarthy is he has built the winning culture here, right? This team wasn't consistently winning 10-plus games and making the postseason. He deserves credit for that.
Absolutely.
But on Sundays, when you are evaluating him as a coach on the sideline, is he giving you an advantage anywhere? I can't really tell you where he is. And he certainly isn't when it comes to as an offensive-minded head coach anymore.
Yeah.
He's not.
I mean, it's a copycat league. It's a hot trend league. And the Cowboys, I think, have decided, and Mike McCarthy is part of it, that instead of trying to keep up with the modern trends that are obviously asking questions of the defense that a lot of them are ill-equipped to answer, they're going to stick with what's got them there. I think that's a big-time problem.
Yeah, you know, remember when we interviewed Brian Schottenheimer and I asked him the question, he kind of swatted it back in my face, like Mutombo, that I asked him, do you steal? Are you guys, who do you steal from?
You really
don't do that. You know, I'm like, okay, I was with Andy Reid. He stole all the time.
Like everybody steals.
He still steals, you know, he steals ideas from high school coaches and stuff like that. So you just wonder, you know, we're good enough. We can do this. And you also wonder, do you want to teach another offense?
You're turning over your offensive line now. The Saints did it in one off season.
Yeah.
Great players.
No, they forever. That was a Sean Payton offense for what, 2006 until maybe longer, until last year. And then, you know, and they moved on from Carmichael, Pete Carmichael. You know, that was a Sean Payton offense forever. And Dennis Allen's thinking, damn it, if I don't get an offense that can move the football, I'm going to get fired. So he might have done something to save his job here with the way that Clint Kubiak's doing a nice job, and they got the right kind of personnel to play this way. You got a back that's, looks like he's found the fountain of youth. The quarterback has been always much maligned. They've got, a lobby makes plays down the field. They got a guy that can run in Shaheed. They got tight ends in Foster Moreau and those guys. They've got, Taysom Hill. They finally found something that he could, like, we'll hand the ball to you guy. Go be a blocker guy.
Tight end, fullback, H-back.
They've got the right type of mix of personnel to be able to do that. And folks are probably saying, well, damn, Broadus, what's Hunter Lipke? You know, what's Ferguson? What's CeeDee Lamb? Your creativity turns into, hey, let's throw the ball to Vaughn, or let's throw the ball a couple more times to Turpin.
Well, and then the execution's poor too, right? Like these little bubble screens that you're going to throw to the outside, they'll work when your receivers want to block. When Brooks is not making his block on the outside and Tolbert's not getting hands on anybody, now all of a sudden you think you have a numbers advantage. Yeah. Nope, you don't have a numbers advantage. Where's Turpin going? Yeah. He's going nowhere. He's got nowhere to run. So cool, cute idea. But if your guys aren't going to go out there and execute the play, then it's all for naught.
Yeah, I just think, if with the modern defenses, what they are and what has happened over probably the last 20 plus years is you're built to stop the chunk passing game, and you're really good at that.
Yeah.
So now if you're not making defenses second guess themselves or get tricked in that half second as the ball is being snapped, good luck creating the space. You know, and what the great offensive minds have done is they're like, well, these teams are fast and they're lighter. Let's bulk up on them and put a fullback in the game and bully them. Yeah. And, it's exactly what the doctor ordered for this kind of, era that we are in. So until defenses say, hey, we better get bulkier, this is going to be the meta. We're in year 8 of it. And the Cowboys still don't know it, Chief. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. It takes them forever to get going here. And they keep talking about how they were slow off the ball yesterday. And a lot of that has to do with now you have the combined element of the sort of flashy offense with all the deception coupled with the physicality of we can have a fullback or an extra tight end on the field. And now you're confused because you're thinking we're probably running the ball when in reality, out of this set and the way we can disguise things, we can pass out of it and have great success as well. You're just on your heels all game.
Yeah.
You got it. Micah doesn't he, they're doing deception within the guys who are blocking him. You're describing it like at the snap of the ball, Micah thinks it's a one-on-one situation and here comes a guy and boom, now he's doubled and out of the play.
Right.
And so there's all that type of deception and your offense has none of it, dude. You're not making defenses guess at all. DeMario Davis knew every play you wanted to run yesterday. Just ate your freaking lunch. Exactly like the average Packers defense did last year as well. Below average Packers defense knew everything you wanted to do. And the week before that and the week before that. The offense was great last year for about an eight-week stretch. And then defenses figured you out. And the last month and into the playoffs, you absolutely sucked. And then yesterday was the exact same thing. They're two steps ahead of you. And then your defense is playing on its heels and they don't know where they're going. Oh my gosh, is it a run? Oh my gosh, it's a screen. God help you for your screen game too. I mean, my goodness, you can't run a screen to save your life.
Yeah, the things you were talking about with that two tight end and like the fullback package with the tight end, it helps them also too in protection. They just go max and then they're able to launch the ball like they did, you know, down the field. I mean, it could look like, oh, we're going to run the ball here. Then all of a sudden it turns into max protection. And now they've got everything kind of covered. They've got extra blockers and the quarterback. He looked super comfortable throwing that ball yesterday, and he didn't have to throw it very much.
No.
He looked more comfortable yesterday throwing the ball than he did against Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, the way that thing was coming out of his hand.
And the per play probabilities back this up. The film backs it up. Logic backs it up. There's like no reason other than you being a complacent status quo organization that you should be resting on your laurels like this. You know, the thing that's in play here is the worst team in the NFL now makes cash $500 million a year. Worst team. You don't have to be good to win. So a lot of these owners are just being comfortable living a great lifestyle. The product is good. There's no incentive to try to win. That's why the Cowboys aren't winning more. And, you know, again, back to my original point, the premise to start the segment, Jerry, Steve, if you're out there listening, what you want to do is lean into what Dak wants. Okay. He's been in the league. He knows what's happening. And when he says, you know, it'd be nice to be doing that on our side of the ball more than I'm worried about critiquing our defense, he's telling you that even though you gave up 44 points, the bigger issue is that we are stuck in the past offensively.
Yeah.
And there's a number of teams out there that supposedly don't have good offensive lines that keep running it right down your throat because you're ill-equipped for it. And, you know, I would hope the answer might be Dak, right? It's he can point you to the next offensive coach, right? It's not Schottenheimer. It's not Mike McCarthy. There are guys out there, right? I just don't understand how you could see throughout history the NFL is a copycat league, but now decide you want to, you know, stick with what is tried and true for decades. I think it's a bigger cost than ever of going with an old guy unless your old guy is like Andy Reid. You know, unless he's proven I'm going to be on top of the trends every year as a matter of principle in the process that we build for coaching this football team. Okay, so listen to Dak more if you're out there, Jones boys. We got to run. It's the G-Bag Nation here on a overreaction Cowboys Monday. And coming up next is Woolchuck's Top 10. What do you got, buddy?
Well, the people get what they're asking for. Put up a poll. So we're doing Top 10 Cowboys thoughts from that shellacking yesterday. We'll do that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Just in the nation.
Welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by Soda, that's state-of-the-art, by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org, and the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one hurt in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for your free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankaffirm.com. Yeah, I just saw that Deer Park fire. They just have to wait more hours for it to burn out there. That's liquid natural gas that's burning. It either jumped or went under the bridge and moved into another town because there's like pieces of liquid propane that are flying through the air. So like hundreds of yards away, they're having to spray down the neighboring houses just in case one of those fireballs hits it. You know, and it looks like there's already been extensive damage in the area. So condolences to property and personnel losses, I believe, definitely in order a tragic day for the oil and gas community here in the great state. It's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
What were some of your biggest thoughts from the Cowboys bleep storm that was yesterday against the Saints? 877-881-1053. I did see this. Prosper Zone and Texas center Jake Majors. We had Texas. The Longhorns are number one in the AP poll for the first time in 16 years. So congratulations, Horn fans. But Jake Majors was asked where he was on Sunday when he learned that the Horns were ranked number one. He said, "I'm pretty sure I was on the couch watching the Cowboys get smoked."
Oh, yeah, they did get smoked.
Yeah, that did happen. Unfortunately, I wish it wasn't true. But let's go through some of these courtesy of Blogging the Boys. They do an outstanding job. Number one, it is the defense. And what the hell happened? They gave up 44 points on 432 yards. They gave up 35 points in the first half alone, which tied a franchise worst record for the most points in a half by a Cowboys defense. Saints scored a touchdown on all of their first six possessions of the game. I know Zim was talking to the media after Coach McCarthy, and he said he doesn't really think it was an effort issue. The team beat us off the snap quite a few times. We didn't get moving quick enough, and he threw back to the pickle juice game. First game of that 2000 season where the Cowboys just got destroyed. They gave up 200 yards to Deuce Staley and the Eagles. And he said, "I made corrections then. I wouldn't be here now if I didn't do that."
Yeah.
Cowboys defense bounced back that season, was ranked one of the best in the National Football League. So he believes he's able to do it. Now, I really wonder, though, if he's got the personnel at certain spots. I mean, defensive tackle, and hey, I mean, at least they went out and tried to bring in some new bodies with Phillips and Joseph.
I feel like, and I hope... I'll apologize to folks because to me, when you watch Phillips play, when you watch him play at Buffalo, and I'd love to sit down with everybody, but I watched the Buffalo against the Cowboys, against the Chiefs, against the Eagles. This doesn't even look like the same player. It just doesn't even, the movement, the range, the violence that he played with in the game, it doesn't even look the same. I can understand Linval Joseph. I can get that one. That's a 35-year-old guy that is probably... He is who he is. And, you know, that's kind of what you're dealing with right now. But Phillips on tape was a much, much better player. And I guarantee you the Cowboys probably saw the same thing. I was watching those games, and you're like, man, this guy looks like he's got something. And then the Giants, they move on. And everybody at the Giants will say, no, the guy was good for us. We just got younger guys that we want to play with, you know, and I'm like, okay, cool. So it wasn't nothing, you know, it wasn't like he was a bad dude or anything. This doesn't look like the same player, you know, and that's disappointing to me that you kind of evaluate a guy and you think, well, God, this guy can actually help us as a three technique. And it was awful. I mean, all the defensive tackles were not good in that football game yesterday.
Yeah, and it's a problem because now if you're getting washed inside, you know, part of the reason why I was excited.
Well, it's not washed, it's hooked.
Yeah.
It's hooked, you're moved, it's turned.
They're getting completely destroyed.
Yeah.
And now the linemen are able to get to the second level. And I thought, like, the linebacking play, you've got good team speed, you've got instinctual players with Eric Kendricks, but now these guys are not able to be running cleanly either.
Yeah.
And now they're forced to
now
you're
have
to
get off the
block.
You're not going to run clean every play. But yesterday was a great example of when you don't get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And when you do get the opportunity to run clean, you better go make the play.
Sure.
Because
there were a couple times that were there and the linebacker, like Leofau, just not hitting it right.
Not hitting it right. And I think that's what the Dawson's question that he asked earlier, what McCarthy was saying. I think they had some young guys that it was the game was a bit difficult for him yesterday.
It's a lot different, you know, once you put Leah Fowle and Clark in compared to Kendricks and Overshown, you know, and I think putting the Cowboys defense in base has to have the people on their schedule licking their chops right now.
Yeah, because I saw a clip of McCarthy being asked why Overshown didn't get as many snaps this week, and he said, well, he isn't in the base defense.
Right.
That is Clark.
And we said that 89. They played 89% yesterday.
Would you move over Sean Bryan, or would you leave him how it is?
No, you have to be able to prove that, like, okay, Leah Fowle probably has more instincts as far as, you know, the recognitions and stuff. He's not as good of an athlete as Overshown, but I would make sure that if I'm going to make a mistake, I need to make it full speed. I need to have the threat to be able to run. But there's times I could sit down with you, and Dawson, I showed you the one play, you know, with what happened to Overshown. They got up on him, and he is fighting to get off that block.
Yeah, none of these guys are going to be good enough if your defensive tackle is going to play like that. It really doesn't matter.
The edges, the tackles, the whole front seven. The whole front seven against the Browns played really, really well.
They were incredible.
Against the Saints, they were awful.
And then you're able to have a game where Eric Kendricks is getting 11 tackles and 2 sacks and an interception. That's when your linebackers are going to be able to eat.
Right, right.
Damone Clark being in the base.
Well, Zim loves Clark.
I don't. That's tough to fathom.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand Overshown for Damone Clark, because there were also times where I felt like Damone Clark was in position and just wasn't able to finish.
Yep.
Obviously, the Shanahan tree continues to be an issue with Clint Kubiak and in that offense. I mean, we've seen that going back to, I mean, how many years now? And look, maybe that, again, we were critical of Dan Quinn with that. Maybe that it is more of a player and a personnel issue, and it's less on DQ if this continues to be a problem moving forward this year and they're not able to make corrections. Alvin Kamara, I mean, he was unbelievable yesterday. He finished the game with 180 total yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he did it receiving. He had a pass block. I think it was the opening drive. One time the Cowboys decided, all right, we're gonna send some pressure. He did a great job in pass protection. I think it was when they allowed, it was either the Shaheed touchdown or the crossing route with Olave. One of the two is a huge
crossing
play.
Route,
and I thought to myself, damn, well, that's not happening if Alvin Kamara doesn't step up and make a great block in pass protection. He was fantastic. And, I mean, this was one where it was the huge plays. I mean, the chunk plays that they gave up in this game.
Yeah.
And then also, you combine the chunk plays, but also long, sustained 10-plus drives from the Saints.
Well, it was everything.
The thing that, to me, when Zimmer brought in here was that he wasn't going to give up the chunk plays, and they gave up a lot of them yesterday. That was really the difference in that game yesterday, that the Saints' ability just to, you know, to dial things up and then to get huge plays out of it. And that defense, they play the cover too. They play a lot of zone, and it's built not to give up big plays. They gave up a lot of big plays yesterday.
Yeah, Saints were like, we could score on you in 3 or 4 plays, 1 play, or we can
do you want
like
a slower or quick death.
Yeah, we can give you like a 7-minute drive as well.
Either way, we got you.
Yeah, you're done.
And it was also disheartening because we had heard Micah and Zim talk about, hey, like the communication between the two. This is what I'm seeing. And to your point, like maybe Micah didn't know what was coming all the time. This, give the Saints credit, right? They had a good plan for him.
Well, they mixed it up for him.
But maybe, you know, moving him around, like that was some of the stuff we got excited about. And, I mean, for him to just be, you know.
But you wonder how much do you move around in base?
Yeah, well, then get out of the base.
If they're going to force you to play against a fullback and multiple tight ends, where else? I'm just asking. And that's a question I need to ask somebody, because if you're playing base, how many spots can you play Micah Parsons? You know, where can you put him? You know, can you put, make, you know, is he basically, you can put him at one of the linebacker spots?
Yes, well, please. I think you still need to put him head up over the center, being in that A gap at least a handful of times, and let him just disrupt crap.
Yeah, did we see that at all?
Oh, no, you didn't.
I don't think you did at
all. No, you didn't, but that's what I'm saying. If when you play base, and I need to ask Zim this, when you play base, how many places can you play him?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. I mean, you pretty much have to say, okay, our 3 linebackers are this guy. You know, so if you put him over the center, that to me, that's getting him into third down. You know, that's getting him into, but you might not on third down play base. I think you're kind of, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
It's one of those things where you're getting your ass kicked regardless. So like,
you have to almost dictate what he's going to play.
Yeah.
You're going to either say, hey, and you base your linebacker or base your defensive end if you get teams that are going to play 21 and 22 personnel against you.
Yeah, you just have to have an answer. Like, it just can't be like, hey, we have this unbelievable potential defensive player of the year, but we just have to acquiesce to the offense. They're just going to do this, and they can just completely erase him.
Well,
he's
a
defensive player of the year candidate, but when they do this, we have no answers for you. You have to have something.
You get erased when you can't play run defense.
No question.
And that's on him.
Other 10 dudes.
His greatest strength to you is his ability to rush the passer. And yesterday that...
Yeah, but I would say he's a disruptor. Like, just let him blow up the middle of the offensive line. It's a rundown. It's first and 10. Okay. They're going to turn around and hand it off. Fine. Let him just blow up McCoy right there in the middle of it and just see what happens.
Yeah, try something.
Because he is a disruptor.
Yeah, he is. He is. But also, I mean, hey, he's got to get off blocks as well when it comes to run defense.
Sure.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Right? One versus one. There were some times like Kamara was the one that stonewalled him on that play that I was talking about in the pass protection. Missed opportunities on offense. I mean, you had the Rico Dowdle play.
I think the Rico Dowdle play, I think the flat pass to Zeke could have been a touchdown right there.
Underthrows.
The throw that the sack that he took that Steele gave up, I felt like he could have thrown it to Cooks to his left. I think he was looking for Tolbert inside, but instead he tried to fit it, you know, he got sacked. Yeah, they missed some opportunities, and, you know, if they were going to score, that's the only chance. I mean, keep up. And I think McCarthy even said that, right? I mean, they just needed to find a way just to keep up. Field goals weren't going to get it done.
Wanye returning kicks. That one didn't look great.
No. Makes no sense.
I mean, he did it in college. I guess they wanted to see what he could do. It didn't work out. Thank God for Brandon Aubrey. He's now 13 on 13, kicks over 50 yards the last 2 years. And he's still the man. I mean, right now you can make a case he's the MVP of your football team.
Is Turpin okay? He got thrown down hard pretty good a couple times.
I didn't hear anything. And there were no reports.
I saw nothing about Turpin, no. Yeah. And then you're still searching for, you know, your running game. Now, probably a tough evaluation there with kind of how the game flow went and you fell behind. But the running game certainly a big question moving forward.
Okay, they zoomed in on some of these houses at Deer Park. They're blowing the dang shingles off the roof with these fire hoses. They're hitting them so hard with the water in a couple of different spots. I'm sorry, I can talk about it with a little bit more of a smile and energy because I read further down in the story. No loss, no injuries.
Oh, thank goodness.
Nobody hurt.
It's crazy because we are looking at a geyser, but it's fire coming out.
Is this
not
an missed opportunity for the Tennessee Titans to practice some wet weather returns with fire hoses in the?
This is actually like watching Will Levis play football. It's just fire all over the place, wreckage and frustration.
Krusty's Corner Part 2 coming up next.
Yeah, let's talk about there's some offensive things I want to get into if we can do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Krusty's Corner is every afternoon 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation, brought to you by Reliant. He's so loaded with film takeaways that we're back right here in the 4:40 for Krusty's Corner Part 2, the offense. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate that. Appreciate the latitude of allowing me to do this.
I want to know, were either of Dak's picks a problem in your eyes?
The second one was because I didn't feel like he had a chance on the play. The way that, you know, I felt like that he forced the ball in there to Lamb. The way the coverage was playing, it was really just
kind of a YOLO ball?
I think it was. The one to Brooks, and I was going to get into that. Matter of fact, the Brooks one, when we were coming back, I was wanted to start with that if I could, because it's going to be a big play.
Yeah,
if he keeps his feet.
Yeah, Brooks stumbles. I mean, literally, he is as he's running out of his break, he literally loses his balance, and Dak's thinking like, okay, I'm going to put the ball right where it needs to be, and if Brooks keeps his feet, that thing's got a chance. And instead, he's running, and as he tries to cut off his right foot, he just completely stumbles and falls. And I thought it was one of those things when we first saw it. You know, Zach, you and I were talking at the halftime show. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe a little bit of a lack of courage.
Ooh. On Brooks' part?
Yeah.
Maybe heard some footsteps.
Well, you never know when you make those in-breaking cuts. Are you doing it thinking like you're going to get whacked? you know, with the inside route there? And are you not sure? And then your body will go limp as you're running the route. And then you'll, he legitimately slipped. I mean, he just fell. It was, I thought that, because sometimes you get a guy like Tyrann Mathieu that's playing in the middle of the field, and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, if he, you know, if he's anywhere around, I'm about to get hit. We saw what happened with Tolbert. That was a whole nother thing with Tolbert. You know, that's a play. Dak buys time, throws you the ball. Just extend your hands.
Attack the foot.
Go get the ball. Don't sit there and wait on it. You, by waiting on the ball, and maybe another young guy thing that we're talking about. But yeah, go get the football. Don't sit there and wait for the ball to get to you. But by doing that, you gave Tyrann Mathieu the opportunity to drive and knock it away from you.
Yeah.
You know, go attack that football. That's your ball. Go get it. And unfortunately, though, it ended up being an incomplete pass.
I hear what you're saying on that Brooks pick, though. I feel like that clumsiness is just, you know, you're not present because you're thinking about something else, like the tackler, in your own head.
I kind of felt like I'm like, this is a young guy, and you're going inside here, and you're thinking, this could be a big collision if I go get this football.
Now, how bad were the running backs? I tweeted mid-game, like, we got to get a different runner. I talked about it a couple of times last week. What was the biggest reason that they only got 3 yards in attempt?
Yeah, a lot of it was when, for example, I'll walk you through some of the red zone stuff, and I'll tell you why. And then once you hear, as I walk through the plays, you'll get a theme.
Okay.
You'll get a theme for this, okay? Okay. First red zone play, and I just want to, because I think there's an issue here.
Okay.
I think there's a red zone issue. And is it execution? Is it play call? Is it all the above?
Yes.
But here we go. Here we go. Vaughn at left tackle. Lipke doesn't control his man, unable to get blocker up on Davis, makes the tackle for a 3 yard gain. Reverse to Cooks. Brooks can't control Taylor off the edge, loses sustain, tackle for loss. Granderson sack. Prescott appears to want to hit Tolbert inside. It's bracketed. Cooks adjust wide to try and get open. He's able to. Granderson spins inside on steal for a sack. So there was that pass play. Prescott short to Elliott. Play had a chance for a walk-in. Prescott has Granderson closing but can't get enough on the pass to get it to Elliott. Incomplete. Flip to Elliott. Steal laid out to secure block. Saints have more defenders than blockers. Smith and Beebe appear to go the wrong way. Linebackers run to make the tackle. The linebackers they were responsible for. Prescott sack, no route open. Prescott tries to climb the pocket to escape, has a lane. Breesy able to reach around Martin to knock the ball loose. Caught a break to recover the fumble by Tolbert.
Yeah.
Prescott fade to Lamb. Good coverage by McKistry to hold Lamb up and contest the ball. Harris breaks well in order to help knock the ball loose. That was the big hit that Lamb took that was incomplete. Prescott to Tolbert. Moved the pocket to the right. Tolbert covered well by Adobo on the play. Nowhere to place the ball. Has to throw it wide. Span forward, fourth down. Could have been the defensive holding on Harris, but not called. Prescott tries to work him from the middle of the field, but he's unable to adjust. Tough chance there. Several plays on the running plays and things like that. Was it unblocked guys?
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, here are the Saints, they're hat on hat with every one of your guys. And then when you have to be able to try and run the football, you can't get a block on a linebacker. You miss a sustained block. They put you in position to block on the play like a Tolbert. And you can't sustain, or Brooks, and you can't sustain blocks. They're asking guys to throw blocks and get blocks, and then all of a sudden they're thinking that the play, how the play is going to work is, hey, all right, we're putting you in a position to block. You got to get somebody on the second level. We can't let the linebackers run over the top. We can't go the wrong way here. We got to get a guy over there, or we got to get this block. It's a lot of the common theme for the Dallas Cowboys right now in offense when it comes to some of the running game stuff.
Yeah, that's especially what Mike McCarthy said in the presser. Yeah. Young guys making mistakes.
You've got guys that they're counting on. They're counting on BB. They're counting on Guyton. They're counting on Tolbert. They're counting on these guys to get blocks or to in order for the plays to have some success. and they're counting on Vaughn. They're counting, you know, they're counting on these guys to make plays, and they're just not making the plays. But the stuff to me, the red zone stuff, you know, I just kind of, okay, they're trying to trick you here, trying to do this, trying to do that. And you're wondering like, okay, is this really the best way to do things? I mean, the quarterback himself made a couple mistakes. That's a veteran quarterback right there. You know, their quarterback's not making mistakes. Your quarterback's making some mistakes here. You know, so I kind of feel like that some of the red zone, I think it's on McCarthy. I think they're asking some of their young guys to maybe do a little too much.
Yeah.
And then also the veteran quarterback has got to help you with some of the plays that he needs to make.
I mean, in fairness to them, it is a young team as they're going through their version of a rebuild. You know?
Yeah. I don't think they'll tell you that it's not a rebuild, but you're sure. Right. You're right. I mean, I just can't believe they were just so bad. They were so bad. The defensive stuff was bad, but there's if the defense was so bad, it really, well, the defense being bad overshadowed the offense and some of the struggles they had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and
both Mike and Dak were saying, hey, we weren't super satisfied with the Cleveland game. So this is like three games in a row.
Yeah, second half, we said the same thing about that Browns game.
I don't think it's scaling it back because you got the veteran quarterback, but I think you have to look at it like, okay, some of these guys were asking, are we asking some of these guys too much? Are we asking too much of some of these guys?
For sure.
Are we setting them up for success as
well? Yeah, that's what I think the coaching is all about. When you sit there and you look at red zone problems, the veteran quarterback. But, okay, you're trying to throw the ball. You're looking at Tolbert to try and throw the ball inside there, you know, and all of a sudden you get sacked where a veteran receiver has found himself open. He's worked himself. He's breaking inside, but he sees what's happening. So now he works outside, you know, and you can see he's kind of looking around like, bro, just throw me the ball. I'll walk this thing in. But he's looking for Tolbert on the inside break and stuff like that. So, and then Tolbert has to find a way to try, you know, and he's not open. Brooks has to run a route inside. Where does Dak throw the ball? Throws it to Brooks. He's stumbling interception right there. You know, it's just a lot going on for some of these young guys. And especially it showed up yesterday in that football game.
We're talking about young skill guys failing to block. I might be fishing for something positive here. Scooney had a couple of catches. How did he look?
Yeah, Scooney was, to me, they needed Scooney to make some plays. The one-handed catch was really athletic on his part. There was times, like I say, that when they got down the red zone, where when I mentioned the play on the reverse, like he had his guy taken care of downfield. But they don't get, you know, Brooks loses his guy. And now, so here's Schoonmaker. He's going to get a plus for his block. But, you know, they need more from that, from Schoonmaker like that. They need more. I mean, I don't know why Dak threw the ball to Spanford on fourth down. I know the game was out of hand and you're just trying to, but he's not open.
You don't have a coach that's giving you easy buttons.
Yeah. There was nothing easy about them playing offense yesterday.
We all think Dak Prescott's better than Derek Carr. What was the difference? He had a coach that was helping him out for four quarters.
Yeah.
Or three. That's all it took to just kick your ass.
Yeah. I think you're
when
on.
Carr somewhere. Made all the plays.
They did.
When he was there, Derek Carr made the plays.
Made a lot of plays.
Derek Carr was better yesterday.
He absolutely was. But his play caller was really good.
He was.
And his teammates were good, too.
You even mentioned, right, Dak didn't at times. There was stuff there. Dak didn't hit it.
I just feel like that there's throws that we've seen Dak make before, that pass they threw short to Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
That's easily, you know, that's something I've seen him make. That's a throw, an off-balance touch pass. You know, seen him make throws on the wheel route down the field.
Right.
You know, lead him out there. Don't bring the ball back, you know, where the defender can make the play. There are a couple of passes like that where you just throw the ball out in front and you got a shot there to make a big play.
Dak would have had to been perfect yesterday, but you know, it's
well, they
possible.
Needed him to be perfect. Yeah. You know, they needed something. Their defense wasn't going to stop the Saints. And
no.
You know, but you know, he has an opportunity, but so the play caller's got to help him too.
For sure.
You know, the play caller, the scheme's got to help him. I mean, if you continually put young guys in position to think that, okay, well, let's see if they can make a play. Now you know, like, hey, we can't put Brooks in that situation. We can't put Tolbert in that situation. You know, we've got to think of other ways to get blocks or don't run the plays. You know, if you're going to have negative plays down in the red zone, then don't run the plays. No.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, man. Red zone issues, a big problem for the Cowboys. I feel like they have been quite a few years in Dak Prescott's career, and usually it's only good when they have a good running game going.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what you got to do to consistently score. Field gets crunched. You're asking Dak to read tighter windows and throw with more anticipation? Yeah, don't be surprised.
I asked you about that yesterday in the post game, right? Like, that can make things easier. You figure out a way to get your running game going in the red zone, that's going to help a lot.
Yep. All righty. In addition to the finest is coming up next, Eric, what do we got?
We'll take a next-gen look at the football weekend, and we'll ponder the meaning of this Cowboy Audible next year in the nation.